Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship this morning. And let us take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. And friends, I invite you to stand in body or in spirit for our call to worship. We have traveled from the despair of Good Friday to the joy and celebration of Easter.
We will give thanks to you forever, O God.
The Lord has turned our sorrow and sadness into dancing and joy.
We will give thanks to you forever, O God.
We come now to worship the one who transforms fear into resurrection love. And let us pray. God of life, we gather this day with the victory bells of Easter still ringing in our ears. We come joyfully this day to celebrate your power and glory, your wisdom and might. May we remain faithful to your call to follow Jesus, secure in your promise that life triumphs over death, that hope triumphs over despair, and that love triumphs over fear. We lift our grateful hearts to you. Amen.
Good morning. Morning. The scripture reading today is John 3, 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So friends, I've got my own set of slides to go with the sermon. You get some things to look at this morning. We're in my last 8 or 9 weeks with you guys. So I wanted to do some special things from the pulpit in my preaching. And for one of them, I wanted to lift up some of the congregational sermon requests that came up last summer. Last summer, I invited you guys to tell me what to preach about, and we did 3 months of that. Y'all gave me so many ideas that some of them I couldn't use because there were so many, and I had to prioritize. One person asked that I specifically preach on John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. When I was planning my schedule for the summer, I had recently preached on Nicodemus, so I felt like it was too soon to bring that back up again. So for the next couple of weeks, you're going to have sermons like that that are ideas that people brought to me. So this is the first of those. This is a very beloved scripture verse. For a lot of people, it's the first verse that they memorize, and there's no shortage of different ways that people want to share these words for their own spiritual and devotional reasons and also with the greater world. So when I started doing just a quick Google search of John 3:16, I found all kinds of really pretty pictures because people like to take this one and turn it into artwork. So this is one that popped up around Valentine's Day that someone turned the words of the verse into sort of an acrostic, and it says Valentine down the middle, if you can see that up there. There's all kinds of different Bible art out there with John 3:16 on it. This is just one that people really, really want to share and really use. And for some people, this one verse feels so special and so sacred and holy that they lift it up above most other verses in the Bible as the verse. If you want to know the truth about Jesus, if you want to know about Jesus' love and our salvation through it, turn to John 3:16. It's all you need to know. Because that belief and that love of this verse is so strong, this verse has a really big role in popular culture, well outside of the church. So we have things like this. Now, this is a bit of a dated reference. For a lot of you that are older than me, you're going to remember more about this guy than I do. His name was Roland Stewart. He became a born-again Christian. And his favorite verse was John 3:16. It was the one verse, like a lot of people, that he lifted up as the verse to know about Jesus and to know about how you're saved through Jesus. And he got nicknamed the Rainbow Man because he loved this particular wig. He would show up in the t-shirt that said in big letters, John 3:16, and then he would get tickets to sporting events, and he would stand where you could not avoid looking at him. By the mid-80s, camera crews started doing everything they could to keep this guy off of TV because he was doing everything he could to pop up in front of the camera so that you'd see Rainbow Man. But it was very, very hard to avoid filming this guy because evangelical Christian organizations really liked him, and so they started gifting him with tickets to places in the stadium or in the court where the camera simply could not avoid showing him, like right in the end zone or right behind the referee, places like that. Now, if the image itself doesn't make it clear, just wasn't completely there upstairs, and that started to get him in a lot of trouble. He got to the point where he was so super zealous that by 1992, he had it in his head that the rapture was going to happen in 6 more days. So he had to start warning people. And he ended up being charged with kidnapping because he went into a hotel and pulled several people into a room and wouldn't let them leave because he had to tell them about the good news of Jesus so that they would go to heaven in 6 days. He's currently serving prison time. But he very much popularized this idea of holding up John 3:16 at sporting events. And because of him, we still see it. This is one of many, many, many examples of people copycatting the Rainbow Man, not with the hair, but with everything else. I had a professor in seminary who had a belief that if you want to be a really good evangelical Christian, if you want to bring the news of Jesus out into the world, you need two things. You need John 3:16 written on a big poster board in big black letters, and you need end zone tickets. And that's it, to bring the good news into the world. We see this phenomenon still all the time. And it's become more popular even in recent years because of this guy. That's Tim Tebow, who has made his name known out there probably more for his beliefs about Jesus than for his ability to play football. One of many things that he has done to bring out his faith into the world is that on his eye black, when he's playing games, he writes John 3:16. You really can't avoid putting this guy on the camera because he's Tim Tebow. And so the message of the Lord gets out there, at least in his belief. And my husband would never forgive me if I didn't bring up this. That's a WWF wrestler, now WWE, but a WWE wrestler named Steve Austin. Because of the Rainbow Man and because of other similar people who started wearing the shirts that say John 3:16 and the signs that say John 3:16, and because that became such a big thing, in 1998, the World Wrestling Federation made this Steve Austin's new slogan. I can't give you all the details about it. I tried to find a good clip of him explaining himself why he's Austin 3:16, but unfortunately the guy swears so much that there's very little of him that I can read from the pulpit. So let's just say that this t-shirt, this Austin 3:16 thing, became in the late 90s almost as popular as the John 3:16 t-shirts, and this is the best-selling WWE t-shirt of all time, just the black ink with the white letters. You can even buy a onesie that says it if I wanted to get one for Alexander. This idea that one thing that you believe over anything else, that you should put the numbers 3:16 behind it, became so big in culture that even a completely secular organization like this one started jumping onto that idea. And these aren't the only places where you see John 3:16 pick up, because this verse is so popular, so beloved, and people believe so strongly that if you want to see the good news, just go to John 3:16. And so, I didn't know this because we don't have these restaurants around here, but if you go to In-N-Out Burger, it says John 3:16 under the cup. And if you shop at Forever 21, which I haven't done in a while, but if you shop there, the bottom of the bag says John 3:16. It's around even in other places. And so this idea of putting John 3:16 on something has even extended to the world of NASCAR. And so we have this particular vehicle, the vehicle number 3:16 with Jesus written all over it. And there's lots and lots and lots more examples like that. But the idea is really, really, really clear that these words, above so many others in the Bible, have made a big impact on culture. We know these words. We know roughly what somebody's talking about when they say John 3:16. And it's one of these verses now that really doesn't have a lot of neutrality attached to it anymore because of all of these things. But of course, the person who brought this up last summer, I doubt he was thinking about a lot of this stuff. It's just his favorite Bible verse. So here's my take on just the theology. Once we get past all of the different places that we've had John 3:16 brought to our attention in the general public, what are these verses actually about just when you're sitting and reading the Bible? Because this verse has been lifted up so often in isolation, all by itself and nothing else around it, you really have to look back at the whole conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. That's where this conversation comes from. That's where this verse comes from. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which makes him a prominent Jewish leader. And it makes him belong to a group of people that are not supposed to like Jesus. Peer pressure alone would have Nicodemus stay pretty far away from Jesus and even try to stump Jesus, to take Jesus down a notch, because that's what the Pharisees were doing throughout most of the Gospels. This is what Nicodemus is supposed to be doing. And yet, Nicodemus found on his own that he really couldn't avoid this feeling that was stirring up within him about Jesus as he was watching Jesus teach and he's watching Jesus heal. Jesus was starting to change his heart. He wasn't feeling like much of a Pharisee anymore. He was drifting away from the Pharisees and closer to the people following Jesus. But he really didn't want to commit to that, and he certainly didn't want to commit to that in public. So Nicodemus decided to talk to Jesus about this, but in a way that nobody would see him, and in a way that to him it wouldn't feel like a big deal. So he approached Jesus at night. When we hear the Gospel of John, when we hear John mention that something is happening at night or in the dark, it means two things. It means literally at night and in the dark, but it also means away from other people, not visible. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks a lot. It's unique about the way that John characterizes Jesus. So we see this long conversation going out between Jesus and Nicodemus, where they talk about these matters of faith. They talk about what Jesus has been doing, and they talk about where Nicodemus stands. Yet, in all of this talking, it really seems like there's one thing that Jesus says to Nicodemus that finally sticks with him. One thing that is so salient and cuts right to the truth of where Nicodemus' heart is and his faith, that after that, Nicodemus can't deny this anymore. He can't keep following the Pharisees because he's just not one anymore. He's been changed, and he starts following Jesus instead. And those words that seem to be that final push is John 3:16, for all we can tell. Before those words are spoken, Nicodemus is still trying to doubt Jesus. After those words are spoken, Nicodemus doesn't do that anymore. We can understand why Nicodemus had that reaction, because these are just simply and objectively beautiful words. And these words so clearly spoke to Nicodemus what he was going to leave behind if he stopped following with the Pharisees, and what he was walking towards if he started following Jesus instead. It showed him that he's leaving behind judgment, that he's leaving behind this pressure to have to look a certain way in public. He's leaving behind legalism and condemnation. And what he's walking towards is life. And not just the idea of eternal life or the idea of heaven or the idea of a resurrection, but the idea of a much, much fuller, deeper, and more satisfying life here and now than he had ever had before. An abundant life. And the salvation that comes from the freedom of following Jesus and just being surrounded by all of that love. And then Nicodemus couldn't deny it anymore. There's only one more time that we see Nicodemus in the gospel. It's after Jesus is crucified. Nicodemus is one of only two people that takes Jesus' body off the cross and then helps prepare him for burial. And when we see Nicodemus again at the end of the gospel after Jesus has been crucified, we see him very much in public, in front of lots of people, and we see him in the light. He has fully immersed himself in following Jesus at this point. And these are the words that push him. They're beautiful and holy words. There's no argument against that. They're words that indeed hold the values that a lot of people turn to Scripture to find. You see a whole lot of goodness packed into just a few words there. So there's a really strong and compelling reason why for so many people that's their favorite verse. That's the verse that you want to put on a billboard. That's the verse that you want to put on a bumper sticker on your car. That's the verse that you want to tattoo on you. And the myriad of other things that I've seen people do with John 3:16. So it's completely understandable why for so many people this verse is the verse. It's the verse that changes your heart. It's the verse that speaks to you above anything else, and it's a favorite verse, more than any other. But that doesn't have to be true for you. It can be, but it doesn't have to be, because there's a whole lot of verses you can turn to. And it's not so important which one it is, but more that there's something in the Word, in Scripture, that reaches your heart today. So John 3:16 doesn't have to be that verse, the one that you put on a t-shirt and carry with you into a football game. You don't have to express your faith that way at all if that's not what works for you. It's not the verse that I would lift up as my verse. And the verse that I would lift up as my verse changes day to day, week to week, month to month, depending on what I need from Scripture, what I need from the Word. That's why we call it a living Word. And so if you'd asked me that question a couple weeks ago, I would have picked up something else. In 6 months, I'm going to lift up a different verse. But the one for me today is Galatians 3:28. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And I'm preaching on that one in 2 weeks. So you'll get to hear more about that. But you don't have to have one verse or even one book or one character, or one story that is your story, your character, your book, your verse. You don't have to respond to the Bible that way in order to be faithful. You can, but you don't have to. It's okay if the whole book speaks to you in one way. It's okay if the light that you're looking for today isn't in Scripture at all, but it's in something else. It's in an answered prayer, or it's in the face of somebody who represents the love of Jesus to you. Or it's in something so small and so unique that I wouldn't be able to think of it to say it from up here. It's not important what it is that turns that key for you. It's just important that you find what that thing is. Whatever you need today to help push you closer to Jesus than you were before. You don't need to wear these words on a t-shirt or on a billboard, but you should think about where you put the words that convince you more than anything else that Jesus loves you. The words that help you find your way to Jesus today. The words that convince you, that convert you. Because those words, I'm not going to carry them into a sporting event or in an end zone or on my car or anything else, but I'm going to carry them on my heart, and I'm going to carry them in my life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
This has been John 3:16 with Pastor Natalie Bowerman on May 5th, 2019. Probably the very favorite Bible verse of many and the most often shared reference. Natalie explores the cultural history and popularity of this verse, as well as its meaning in light of the verses which precede it. She notes that a favorite verse is one that speaks loudest to each of us, but that could change meaningfully with circumstances.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.